Mr. Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chats with Jim Jackson and Vince Carter about last night's NBA playoff action, previewing tonight's NBA playoff action. Also, Jim Jackson was at the mic with Ian Eagle on TNT when Draymond Green had some place that he had to step. His foot had to land somewhere, essentially. If you missed any of that, don't worry. We re-air right here on the Roku channel in 1 hour's time. We re-air every single day as soon as we're done with our 12 to 3 Eastern live hours on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV. Also on the Roku app, therokuchannel.com. There's our YouTube stream as well. Go to our YouTube page, our YouTube channel. Hit us with a subscribe. Every single day, our show gets chopped up, and most of it gets put there. There's the Rich Eisen Show collection page, part of our Roku channel relationship. It's a video on demand service. The whole show winds up there as well. There's our podcast, the Cumulus Podcast Network. All 3 hours you can listen to on demand whenever you want. All where podcasts are acquired, any spot, you can find the Rich Eisen Show in deliverable form. 3 hours every day whenever you want to listen to it. Chris Brockman, Jason Feller in their spots, TJ Jefferson in his spot, you at 844-204-RICH, the number to dial. Again, Zay Flowers was on as well. If you missed it, stay tuned for that. And in about 18 minutes time, a little less than that, the actress Betsy Brandt will be here. And it's pretty cool. I've been a fan of hers, Life in Pieces, Breaking Bad. She showed up in Better Call Saul as well. You can bet that we'll be watching in our household, Saint X, on Hulu, which premieres next Wednesday. Three episodes are going to be dropping on one day. And then new episodes will drop weekly on Wednesdays. She's about to join us in studio. And Chris, your son Cage is three, correct?
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken, because I follow you on Instagram at Brock Shady. He successfully completed swim class recently, and he got froyo. He got frozen yogurt, correct?
Swim class has been a little bit of a disaster.
yes.
Okay.
We have a pool at our house. He did the lessons kind of last year, and he was super into it. But, you know, the winter, you're not going in the pool. It's cold. So we're getting him back into it, just kind of re-familiarize himself.
Okay.
So we joined a local spot. Saw Matt Barnes actually the other day.
Oh, really?
After he was here. Kind of funny.
Yeah, the same day, right?
Same day. So the first three, he just refused to go in. He was afraid. Didn't like the environment. Didn't know none of the kids there. He didn't know them. And the instructors were like, was he afraid of the water? I'm like, afraid of the water? We left our pool to come here. He's not afraid of the water. So finally, a fourth time was a charm. We walked in, get changed, you go into the area, you got right in. I think I figured out why.
Tell him, Chris.
Frozen yogurt?
No.
Well.
He's a young man, Rich.
There was a three-year-old girl in his class.
All right.
And I think he wanted to show off.
Wanted to show.
Attaboy.
Stayed in the water the whole time. I sat right on the edge to kind of make him feel comfortable. Didn't even look at me. Didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much into the other person in his class. They did the thing, and afterwards, it was like, great job. You were a great boy. Let's go get frozen yogurt.
Fantastic. So he's got a little bit of the Lochte in him, is what you're saying. Some of the Lochte?
He became a man on that day.
Is that it?
I was like, wow. Okay bud, that's all it took.
When he told me this the other day,
okay.
He goes, so you know why he got in? I said, was there a little girl? And Chris just
there
goes,
go. Fantastic.
We go.
Well, the reason why I bring this up... is when Cage gets older and starts playing scholastically and starts having basketball games, for instance, for his grade school, potentially middle school, and then, you know, to salute for you, high school and beyond, right? The NBA, someplace Cage is going to have a place for his foot to land, right? Because we know he's going to be that type of player. There will be times where, let's be honest, some of the action in these games drag. They lag a little bit. You're sometimes just waiting to see if a ball will go in the net. And at those times, you find comfort with some of the other parents who are in the same situation. And sometimes your child, when they put the ball in that, it's a revelation and it's great. And there's another parent similar to that situation as well. And you like it if you like those parents, right? Those youth sports become that much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Betsy Brandt is that for Susie and I.
Oh.
Because our kids go to school together. And we have gone to these sporting events together. And it was great when one of our kids broke good. So I don't know if that'll be part of our conversation when she comes out here.
I guess I could ask her this in about 15, 20 minutes. Yes. Is she like loud and cheering and going nuts? Because that was always my mom at the games. You could always hear my mom.
There's spirit. It was a spirited venture.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and I don't mean because we were trying to get through it. No, we were showing school spirit.
Oh, I thought you had the flask sound or something.
No. That'll be for the Emmy Awards in a couple of weeks.
1,000%.
So, there's that.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. There you go. All right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will take your phone calls here on this show, but let's get to our Friday staple. And this is great. 1 week from today, we will have answers, first round answers. 1 week from today, the first round of the NFL draft will be in the books. And so, we'll know the answers to the questions Chris is about to pose in an NFL draft edition of What's More Likely.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
Okay, Christopher Brockman, let's get the NFL Films music. Thank you, Jay Felly. What do you got over there,
Here
Chris?
Here we go. Happy Friday. Let's get right to it. What's More Likely? Quarterbacks go first, second, and third.
Yes.
Or Will Levis will be on the board when the Patriots pick at 14.
I'll go Will Levis on the board at 14 is more likely. And I know Joel Klatt was here saying he thinks that it's all a smoke screen with the Texans at 2 and Stroud, and that somebody's going to trade up with Arizona for Anthony Richardson, or could be Levis.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I'm landing more in the camp now of what Albert Breer said about a week and a half ago, because we try and make you smarter by having all of these guests on prior to the draft talking about the draft. It also helps me with prep. So,
Rich, I know you prep 24/7.
I am more in the camp of what Breer said, is that we in the media are evaluating these quarterbacks differently than what the NFL might evaluate them as. Yeah. So I'll say more than likely that Levis is available when the Patriots are there at 14 than 1, 2, and 3. Now, it obviously could be in the middle that Levis is gone.
Yeah, maybe.
And that there is a 1, 2, and 3, and Levis is one of the top three, but I don't think it'll go in a row to start the draft.
I still think 1 through 4 are all going to be quarterbacks.
Well, that would be something else.
We'll see. Okay. Good answer, Rich.
Thank you.
Well, all right, what's more likely?
What's more likely? We'll not hear that again during this conversation, or we'll hear that again?
I think we'll hear it again.
Okay.
The non-offensive player, non-quarterback to get selected first, Bijan or any wide receiver? Look at some of the
I would have answered, so you're taking offensive tackles off the board here.
Yes, I'm talking about skill players. Bijan or...
Okay, because non-quarterback, they're also a non-quarterback.
I understand.
Tell me a tackling and a skill player.
Because I will say this, I'll give you something. I will go wide receiver. Goes first over Bijan. It's just the whole running back thing just drives me a little crazy about how you don't need one to be a game changer. Okay. I don't believe that. Or you can find your game-changing running back later in the draft. I got you.
Yeah.
But somebody, I believe Bijan's on our show next week before
nice.
I leave town. Can't wait to chit-chat with him. I hear he is just a delight. But I still think it's a wide receiver, and I'll go you one better. I think we're going to hear two tackles off the board before we hear any other, if you will, skilled position player on the offensive side go. It'll be quarterbacks, then two offensive linemen before we hear our first wide receiver name.
Ah, interesting.
Prior to Bijan. That's the way I'm going. How about that?
All right.
Boy, I'm just spitting details.
Hey, hot fire.
You know why I'm doing this? Because I'm prepped. What else? What do you got?
All right, let's go to defense.
Yes, sir.
Who's more likely to be the first defender selected? Will Anderson or Jalen Carter?
Will Anderson. I still think Will Anderson, to use the Mayock phrase, is considered cleaner off the field. Be that as it may. Fair or not, I think it's Will Anderson before Jalen Carter. That's more likely. But next week is just going to be a total reshuffling of the deck in terms of narratives. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's the other way around once we finally get to rubber meeting draft road. But I'll take Will Anderson. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right. We don't know what these two teams are doing. They're meeting with everybody. They're sitting right there at 7 and 11. Talking Raiders, Titans.
Are they they're taking and making calls, right? They're doing both.
They're taking and making. They're okay. Doing all their visits. They're doing everything.
Yep.
Hosting dinners. Who's more likely to shock us by moving up to draft a quarterback? Raiders or Titans?
Ooh, good one, Chris. I'll go Raiders being aggressive. Oh, no, wait a minute. The Titans. I mean, I could also see the Raiders go, we got Jimmy G here, and we'll deal with this later, or another draft or whatever. I'll go Raiders. I just think they'll surprise people and move up. That'll be the bigger surprise because Tennessee, everyone thinks, well, they've got to, right?
Kind of.
I'll go Raiders. 11, I'll go Raiders.
7-3, maybe, to take Richardson?
Move on before I decide differently.
Oh, Rich Eisen. Okay, Rich, last year?
Yes.
9 first-round trades. 9. Monster first round last year. So what's more likely to be the higher total? This year's first-round trades? Or Aaron Judge home runs the time of the draft.
Oh, you're going back to the well.
Okay.
Judge is at 6 bombs right now.
All rise.
Higher total. I'll go, you know what? Because I'm feeling it. I'll go Judge home runs. Yeah.
You're going to have a good week.
This total is higher. It's further, and it is goner. Yeah, yeah. The Judge total is going to be higher.
All right.
By the way, you said what's more likely first, Judge hitting 10 home runs or Rodgers becomes a Jet. Down the stretch we come, Chris.
Here we go.
It's neck and neck,
yeah,
pal.
Yeah, baby.
It is neck and neck. It is a tight one. I think I chose Rodgers, right?
I think
Judge might win,
Rodgers.
Pal.
Wow, I mean, that's a YP.
Sorry, folks.
Or a JP.
Good one.
It's a JP.
All right.
Last one. Higher total, more likely.
Mm-hmm.
Concluded NBA playoff series or wide receivers taken in the first round.
Higher total. Concluded NBA playoff series by draft day or wide receivers taken in the first round. Let me see. This is interesting. Let me hammer it out. Boston and Atlanta will be over by then. Sixers and Nets will be over by then.
Yep.
I think Clippers and Suns will be over by then because they play every other day. That's 3. Minnesota-Denver is 4. What's my choice again?
Or wide receivers taken in the first round.
I will go playoff series over.
So you think at least, you think half will be over by
draft
night? Oh,
yeah, I do. I do. Ooh, I mean, yeah, I do. That's a good one. That's a real good one. On Friday's show next week, we let's revisit that.
I was thinking about that.
Okay, that's a real good one. Okay.
All right. What's more likely? There you go.
Okay, very good. One more. All right, we'll get one more.
Do you have one more, Chris?
Oh, wait
a minute. I do.
Oh, what?
We're script flipping here. Script flipping.
I was caught off guard there.
Table turning.
Hey.
Whoa.
Chris, I've got one for you.
Hey!
What's more likely? Put it up on the screen. The Patriots draft a skill position player at 14 or trade down to take someone you've never heard of. And by the way, I kind of dig Belichick sitting there with Nike on the right. Well done, Smitch, for that photograph. Beautiful Nike the dog. Famous by the 2020 draft. But
I mean, I know what I want them to do.
What is more, excuse me, now you're in the position I'm in every single week. What's more likely? The Patriots choose a skilled position player, meaning a running back, quarterback, wide receiver at 14, or trade down and take somebody you've never heard of.
All right. So,
and by the way, they could trade down to take someone you have heard of.
That's true. Hold on. Do the Pats have a second round pick? They don't.
They're trading out.
It's more likely they're going to trade down, maybe get a second pick, add a fourth or fifth later on.
Yeah, yeah.
And just get more picks.
Yeah.
when they should just take Bijan?
He might not be there. So what do you got? Which is it?
It's more likely to trade down.
Very good. And then take someone you've never heard of.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, no, there's just two choices. How funny is it when I turn the tables on him?
Oh, they pick 46.
He's trying
overall.
To find, you know, let me choose choice C or D or E. Mm-hmm. No, there's two choices, A or B.
That's it.
They do have a second rounder, but
all right.
They don't have a third rounder.
Good stuff.
Whatever.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll try our best. Stay tuned. Stay where you are. We will take your phone calls by the end of the show and then get to that Steelers, big Steelers story that nobody's covering, to be very honest with you. But we've been all over it since the very beginning. But let's bring Betsy Brandt out here. New show on Hulu called Saint X. Betsy Brandt next on The Rich Eisen Show. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobleproject.com/NFL to see how Noble forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to The Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by Noble called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/RichEisenShow and youtube.com/RichEisenShow. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Saint X, it is going to be premiering Wednesday, April 26th, with 3 new episodes. And then new episodes drop weekly on Wednesdays. After that, what do you want folks to know about this?
Those first 3 episodes, you're going to get right into it.
Okay.
So that's like and then we're going to make you wait for it, I guess, every week after that.
Right.
It's based on a book, though. So if you read the book or are familiar with the book, you will, which the book was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You'll have some idea what's happening, but it is really, I think, it's great TV just to watch it unfold.
Right. And so you're on a family vacation in a beautiful island spot.
Yes. And a fantastic resort. And our teenage daughter goes missing.
Mm-hmm. And then all sorts of holy heck breaks loose. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not the vacation that we dreamed of.
No. You're definitely not going on some sort of... well, that's what we call a trip then, right? There's a difference between a vacation and then there's a trip.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
But we shot in the Dominican Republic, which like that was, we couldn't have made the show that it is and shot it anywhere else.
Right.
Like you couldn't have shot in Hawaii and have it be this island. So I was really glad we got there. But, you know, like that's a whole thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just.
Is it Caribbean or Caribbean to you? What is that?
Oh, I always say Caribbean.
Okay. What do you say, Chris? Are you a Caribbean guy or a Caribbean?
You say it the right way or the
weird way? What is it? I don't know.
Caribbean.
Okay, Chris. Very good. Out here in the
like
West.
Like Carabiner.
Oh, okay. Very good. Saint X is premiering on Hulu Wednesday, April 26th. That's next week with 3 episodes. New episodes drop weekly on Wednesdays. I was mentioning as you were coming out here that you and I and our spouses have shared many youth sports moments together because our sons go to school together.
Yes.
And so, Chris, do you want to ask the question that you were asking before of Betsy Brandt now that she is actually sitting here?
Do you just sit back and watch and enjoy, or are you super loud, interactive, yelling, and doing all that fun
stuff? You know, Chris, I am who I am, and I... I have feelings about a lot of things. The sports, all of it. I do. Now, I'm not, you know, really, my husband will get, you know, like more about, oh, that call is right.
Yeah.
I just really, you know, it, for me, it's all about the drama
you're
that's
going
happening
for the,
out there.
You're going there. With the flow.
Yeah.
Right. So you and I are like that. And your husband and my wife, Susie, they're the ones who want to take the referees.
It's funny. Susie likes to sit next to me at those games because we do compliment each other and are cheering.
First of all, you crack her up. That's number one. And
well,
number two,
she
also knows that you cracking her up takes her mind off of the officiating and things of that nature. I would think. I mean, we've never had this conversation before.
Yeah.
You know, Susie and I have never had that. I would just guess that because she does want to sometimes complain about some of the officiating. She knows she can't.
I mean, sometimes I can't help myself. And then I'm that mom. You know,
because
my daughter played sports too.
Right.
And I'd be like,
you don't
sometimes
want to be that
I chill. Excuse me. That belongs to us. Please relinquish the ball.
Yeah, I know. You can't do that. You don't want to be that person. Because you don't. Because sometimes
that was impolite.
Some bad words might slip out as well. Let's jump into some of your previous work, if you don't mind, Betsy Brandt. Certainly here on this program,
you've had some of my friends on your show.
I have had some of your friends, no doubt, on this show. In Bryan Cranston and obviously Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And when did Breaking Bad first come across your radar screen, Betsy?
When did I start watching it?
Nice. Right. Right.
Is it over?
Yeah, right.
It's so funny. I met Dean Norris in the waiting room to go in audition for Vince Gilligan.
Was he auditioning for Hank?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we had no idea what this show was. I was like, is this a comedy? We had a whole conversation about it. I said, because I'm going in there and reading it like it's funny because I think it's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, yeah, no, me too. And so we both. But that's how our characters were, not for all of it, but a lot of it.
Right.
We had no idea what this
script
was.
Is that what you were going into to audition? You're reading the pilot script.
Yeah. Oh, it was, I said to my husband, I said, hands down, the best pilot I've ever read. I wonder if they'll actually make this.
Couldn't believe it.
Because the idea was just so, who's going to put money behind that? Sony and AMC.
Did you know that Bryan Cranston had been cast when you were going in?
Because
that would have lent the idea to being a comedy as well, with him coming from Malcolm in the Middle.
Well, clearly
at the time.
I wasn't the only one who thought there was so funny in it.
Right.
He wasn't cast yet. And then he was. I went in, did I go in two or three?
Mm-hmm.
I think three times ultimately.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get the gig.
And then I got it. But I needed it, not like I needed it to pay my bills. I was already so attached to the project and invested in it because it was so good. And then once you can't sit, I mean, you know, you can't sit in a room with Vince Gilligan and not fall in love with him. Like, and he's such a creative genius, but he's also just one of the best people you'll ever meet.
So nice, so sweet. And you can't believe that. The
right.
dark stuff
really
comes from
dark.
That human being.
I know.
Being, you know?
I know. And he's just the nicest guy.
Right. And all the darkness.
Cranston, I mean,
right.
He played this like, oh my God, I got chest pains during the awkward guacamole scene because I just was telling him over and over again to go kill himself and meaning it every single time.
When did you realize that this was hitting, though?
After season three. Like the first couple of seasons, the show was great, but it wasn't, we were getting enough people that were watching it, enough people to watch it that AMC was willing to keep it on. So I was thankful for that. And I would have been happy doing that too, but it was great that we had the fans that we did.
Right. And then all of a sudden stuff like when it hit Netflix or something like that.
Yes. When Netflix, because really... then people caught up on it and people caught up on it and binged it.
Mm-hmm.
And then went along the ride with us. But there's still people that are starting to binge it now.
Right, exactly right. And, you know,
just when I think I'm like, oh, like that's the zenith of like, you know, no one will recognize me from Breaking Bad anymore. It's Yeah, that doesn't.
Well, I mean, it'll always be that way. What was the toughest scene for you to do?
Oh my God. Sorry, spoiler alert. I think when
it's too late.
Right. I mean, is there like I know. When it's heartbreaking. When Skylar, oh God, well, you know what? There's some scenes I haven't even watched because it's too hard for me.
Are you serious? Where you did it once and you just can't watch it back?
Well, I'm not in. I'm not in. Oh yeah, but sorry. Yes, what I was in. Where Skylar and Marie fight and I slap her. That was one of the saddest days for me, for my character, because that I love their relationship and was like, that's done now. That will never be the same.
Yeah.
Once I know that she was involved, had anything to do, that she and Walt had anything to do with Hank.
And the scene where Hank, he realized that Walter White was Heisenberg and everything that goes on, where he's basically, you know, on the toilet. Learning about this sort of thing.
I was so scared when I read that pilot and some of it had been redacted. And I said to Vince, I said, what's happening? Is he going to die a very sad Elvis Presley death on the can? Is that what you're going to do? Because I want to know about that. If that's good, just so I can prepare myself. And he goes, no, what? But I like that. That's my Vince Gilligan.
That's a good one.
Imitation.
So I guess this is a silly follow-up question, but I'll ask you anyway. You receive redacted scripts? For real?
Yeah, up and in the beginning, because you get those pretty far ahead before shooting. And so, you know, the show was, so many people were into it. It just, we didn't want a chance having it get out there.
Right.
Having someone find it. You know, we did have someone who wasn't involved with the show come across a script and it, you know, it was, you know, we didn't want it to, everyone puts a lot of work into it. We didn't want that to happen.
Right. And so everything was top secret, obviously, you know, on the set for something like that. So, because we had Bryan Cranston on the show and he said the toughest scene he had to do was the one involving Kristen Ritter, you know, when her character died and Walt basically watched her and criticized her
I saw him right after that. That was a tough scene for him.
What is it? I mean...
It's funny. We would do a class picture every year.
Okay.
Everybody would come and do a class picture, and he was crying. Like because you hold it together.
Yes.
While you're shooting, and then, you know,
after he did that scene, you found him just.
Well, he was like in the corner alone. Someone was hugging him. He was crying, and he was like, that was tough.
Yeah, give him a second.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Wow, and what a show. And then to see you in Better Call Saul, that was pretty sweet.
Do you know
too.
How hard it was for me to keep my lips zipped about that? Because we'd been working on this for a while.
Right.
And so I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but mm-hmm. I knew I was going to come back because I was going to, I am not happy there. You do not, don't you, I will.
Well, again, it was great to see you because it was a brilliant choice to have you on it. And have your character on it, because of all the people who could be the most aggrieved that is still alive from Breaking Bad to be brought back to lay out there everything that Saul Goodman's character did, it would be you and your character. And I thought that was, I didn't even think that you would appear. I didn't think that they would go there. And then when they did, I'm like, that what a brilliant choice get you to do that. And because you are as aggrieved as it possibly gets by this man's decision making.
It was so great for me in so many ways, just to be back with my friends and have Peter Gould directing me, and to get to be like, Bob was there not from the beginning of Breaking Bad, but pretty close to it.
Right.
You know, so he's pretty OG. And to watch him in that scene just really screw my character over was incredibly fun. Incredibly fun.
And so did you have to sort of read up on what had happened previously to just refresh your memory?
I,
To try and find that look on your face to just get to prepare for a scene like that, just to remember all the things that they did do to your character.
No, once you live it, that's in you. At least for me with that. Like, even just talking about playing Marie now and her coming back, like, to get to play that character again, I mean, that was great for me. Mm-hmm. But also to get to really do her justice, because I still love her. I mean, she's not the easiest character, I know that, but I so much to love about her, and I still love her. And at the end, she was one of the most honest people in the show, who told the truth and was, you know, like, her compass was the one you follow out of half the characters on that show, more than half.
And it's amazing that you'd say the best moral compass would be a kleptomaniac,
right,
as well.
You know. Well, you know, some things, I mean, I don't
everyone's perfect.
Don't judge. Don't focus on that.
What was your favorite thing you snagged from somebody's, I guess, house, right? As a character?
Oh. The spoons were fun for me. That was fun.
I love that stuff.
And then I did take from the set the little figurine that I took.
From what?
Sony's probably going to come after me now.
They're looking, wait a minute. We were going to have a spec house with a figurine.
They've had people questioning other people, and now it's out there. Because it was just so weird and random. It's not a Hummel. It's like a Hummel knockoff.
Okay.
And
that's what you got.
I thought that was, but the spoons were like, yeah, I don't know. And I like small spoons.
I love that. Betsy Brandt here again. Saint X is premiering on Wednesday next week on Hulu. New episodes dropping weekly on Wednesdays. And then Life in Pieces. What a fun show that was.
Oh, God. Wasn't that fun?
Hilarious.
That was fun.
Absolutely hilarious.
I feel like during the pandemic, a lot of people were like, I just started watching Life in Pieces. I'm like, man, where were you?
Where were you when
we needed you?
Right.
But we had four good years.
Great years.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, because James Brolin was on the show. Did Barbara Streisand ever come by?
Oh, I thought you meant James Brolin was on this show.
No.
You should get him on the show.
Oh, I'd do that.
He's such a kick. I mean, like, what a kick. Yes, she has stopped by.
Barbara?
Yes.
Was Barbara at, like, craft services?
Barbara,
some tea or something like that? Come on now.
Freakish how down to earth she is.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't know if she knows she's Barbara Streisand. That's not true. She totally knows she's Barbara Streisand. She's aware. Yeah. But she is absolutely lovely.
She's still
lovely.
Barbs.
And so is Jim. Jim was like the perfect TV dad.
Yeah. She's still, you know, Barbara from Brooklyn, I guess, deep down from it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's got to be pretty cool.
I mean, she was singing and like getting her own costumes and like, I mean,
what?
Her like when she not for us, when she first started out, she's like, I would buy vintage stuff, and because she just like I think she, you know, knew what she wanted to do. She knew she was really good at it.
Oh, okay.
And
I've
told her that I would like to be in a meeting with her when she, you know, like if she's going to direct something and has to tell a room full of people that she needs to go a different way than what they want to do.
Yeah.
And then she's going to walk out of that room, and then I'll collect whatever things she had on the table, and then I'll say, we're done here. Thank you. and then I'll leave.
Oh, man.
With some dignity.
So there was no, like, Life in Pieces karaoke party where she gets up and just drops?
She hasn't sang at anything.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That didn't happen?
No. It really didn't.
And Colin Hanks is one of my favorite people.
Isn't he just the best?
He is awesome. I love that guy.
And so funny. Oh my God. He's so funny. He played my little brother, so I still feel like I should just pick on him all the time. I don't know if that'll ever change.
Why not?
I hope he's okay with it, because I don't know if it'll ever change.
He's, again, one of my favorite people, and congrats on in advance of Saint X, and I will see you, you know, at the next, I guess, youth basketball game or something like that?
Yeah, sure.
Something like that?
Sure, any basketball game.
We'll do that. Thanks again for coming, Betsy.
Oh my God, thanks for having me.
Blast.
Such a pleasure.
Oh, right back at you. @Betsy_Brandt on Twitter, @BetsyBrandt on Instagram. Check out Saint X on Hulu, which is available right here on Roku starting next Wednesday. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Betsy Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will wrap things up and send you to your sports weekend in a moment.
That's great.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has three great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number two expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetnista Alice and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
Kevin in North Carolina has been hanging on for quite some time. What's up, Kevin? Oh, gosh. These things happen. Put him back on hold. Anthony in Ohio, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Anthony?
Anthony is on phone with Rich. I've been a fan for decades.
I love it. And wait, the way you go on third person to start the conversation, I'm very impressed.
Actually,
well done.
I did that because I know how you and everybody does what they do, and I said, I have to figure out a way to get through this.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just glad that we didn't that Jay didn't use our third person alarm, which is, I believe, DeMar DeRozan's daughter screeching anytime. Right?
We're not talking about her because I actually love that. I can't say.
No, careful. Careful.
He caught himself.
Did
careful.
I just say that?
That's okay.
I said that for TJ.
I got it. What's on your mind, Anthony?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Okay. My whole thing is I don't want to keep you long. I know you're pressed for time and everything.
Okay.
I just want to say some cool things really fast. Been a fan for decades.
Thank you.
Stuart is my fraternity brother.
Oh.
I'm an Alpha Phi Alpha.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah.
Okay. So you, and I said Alpha Phi Alpha on your network, so all other brothers and sisters, Alpha Kappa Alphas, also say the brother got online and finally said some things on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I'm going to leave you off that. Now, I know you're pissed off about your guy coming out of Green Bay and he changed his mind.
He's not going to change his mind, Anthony. That ain't happening. He's coming. He announced his intention.
And I actually texted you guys when your feed left because you had to go to something, you had to do something.
Okay.
And then Susie was on.
Okay.
So I sent a text through Twitter, and then I found out you lost your blue check mark yesterday. So now you understand. I watch you constantly.
This is a fan.
So thanks. I watch you constantly.
Well, so don't be a stranger anymore. Like, don't be a stranger anymore, Anthony, okay?
No. You guys have to call me.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Very good. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Anthony, Ohio. What an entrance. He went third person, and that almost needed to be the drop when he almost dropped the four-letter S-bomb. Yeah, that's what my inner monologue went there.
Is it 5 o'clock in Ohio?
Kevin in North Carolina. Let's give him one last shot. You there, Kevin?
How you doing, Rick?
Hey, where were you a couple minutes ago, Kevin? I just want to give you another shot.
Sorry, I got tied up.
Oh, good.
So I was born and raised in Kansas City.
Okay.
I'm going there pretty soon.
We're going. I'm going. I will be there next week. Fired up.
So, like Fredo, you about broke my heart about beginning of the last football season, and then you made up for it. I must compliment you. That thing with Patrick and Henry was the most beautiful thing.
Henry Winkler is a new BFF. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, you know, I've been listening to you a long time, and you've been talking about Aaron Rodgers and what could be for the Jets, and the same thing for, you know, the Rangers with – or, the, sorry, the Ravens with Lamar. But I don't know if you know, but while Aaron and Lamar are warming up singing, "Should I Stay or Should I Go?" – Patrick is in Texas already throwing the ball around with his teammates.
That's right. And Zay Flowers calling him up saying, hang in there. And thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Kevin. Listen, man. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet. It's happening. Next week's going to be the week. And if it doesn't happen next week, then it'll be on. And then if it doesn't happen next week, then it will be on. The it being Rodgers, will he show up to offseason workouts? Will he show up to organized team activities? There's a mandatory mini camp in June. And what, he'll no longer intend to play for the Jets? All of a sudden, he'll wind up somewhere else? Well, the somewhere else would just have to be in a place where somebody gets their quarterback hurt. That's all. It's not going to be San Francisco. Oh, my God, San Francisco. He could wind up there because that's where he's from. Folks, San Francisco will have to acquire him from Green Bay. And if you think the cost to the Jets is what the Jets are balking about, they're not just going to send him to San Francisco where they'll see him once a year potentially. Nuh-uh.
I can send Trey Lance. Let Lance and Jordan Love battle it out.
Sounds good. Sounds like exactly what Green Bay wants to do. Let's have a quarterback competition for this kid, this poor kid who's been waiting his turn. Got it. Understood.
Sorry, folks.
Okay. Great.
Sorry, folks.
That ain't happening. That's not happening. So.
All right. Well, Zach Wilson.
Fact. And that'll happen. That's going to happen next week. It'll be great. It'll be great next week. So the Pittsburgh Steelers acquired Allen Robinson. And it's a seventh round pick swap with the Rams, who are basically getting set to send Allen Robinson back into the free agency pool. And instead, they actually got the Steelers to pay $5 million of his salary. So instead of them eating their entire salary and choosing lower in the seventh round, laugh all you want, seventh round pick swap. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the seventh round. So, I mean, look, it's not a great look for the Rams, and the Steelers get somebody significant. And just when you thought that that would be the biggest story coming out of Pittsburgh, everybody talking about Allen Robinson, and that's the biggest football story coming out of the Steelers pre-draft. Nuh-uh. No, no, no. Here on this show, we cover the most important things. And that is, as we all know, when the Steelers changed their stadium name from Heinz Field to Acrisure Field. We're all wondering what the hell happened to the ketchup bottles. Where do they go? Where are they going?
Nobody knew.
Honestly, we could not get a straight answer.
Nope.
Where are the ketchup bottles?
We asked around too.
Well, on the day they made this initial acquisition of Allen Robinson that became official today, word comes out, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The bottle's back.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Finally. Bottle is going to be permanently displayed at Acrisure Stadium. There you go.
It was the best thing. For
me. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back.
There
in.
It is.
Nice.
Right at the Heinz Gate. Brilliant idea.
Oh,
you know why it's so brilliant? Because guess what? When you're at Gate C, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm wondering, what type of condiments do they have inside Acrisure? You see some huge-ass ketchup bottle, and there it is. Oh, beautiful. Look at all these photographs. Well done, Ed. Yeah. Oh, it's nice and shiny as well.
Brilliant!
Oh, love it.
Oh, so where are you at? I'm outside the stadium. Where are you?
Where are you at?
I'm under the ketchup bottle.
I'll meet you by the ketchup bottle. And I love how they have it.
Tilted down.
Yeah.
Now, what you need now is a big hand tapping the 57.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, man.
And people, you know, When you see somebody flip over a new bottle of Heinz and tap it from the top. What
are we doing? I just always knew they weren't from Pennsylvania when I saw that.
It's just, we were born with this knowledge. What are you doing? There's a raised 57. All you got to do is just tap it.
Right on the side.
Right. Just a little tip, tap, tap. Use this part of your hand, the lower part of your hand. Just tap, tap. It just comes flying out.
Like Colt 45, it works every time.
Flying out.
Or you just slide the knife in there.
Great little choice.
Yeah, that's people doing that.
That's
what people don't know.
A little animal. A little bit. You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
You don't need to do it. You just need to have your hand. Just tap the side of the bottle. A little tap, it's tap so well done.
Hot take.
Yes.
Ketchup is gross.
Oh.
Oh, God.
How dare he say such a thing when there's so little time left in this program to retort. There's no reason to retort.
No.
Ketchup is
gross. I remember when I first moved here, early 2000s.
Get out of here.
I was at a Denny's or an IHOP. I can't remember. Next booth over, I saw somebody doing that. And I looked over. I was like, are you from Pittsburgh? And they were like, yeah.
Hey.
I knew just from the way they were hitting the ketchup bottle.
Enjoy Cavs and Knicks tonight. And then, you know, there's the other series. Boston and Atlanta. Can Boston and can Minnesota and Atlanta draw any blood? What do you think?
Okay. No chance.
Let's move on then.
I think the T-Wolves can.
Okay. Let's see it.
Ant Edwards played great last game.
Let's see it. That's great.
They can get a game, not that they can win.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
In the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union started developing directed energy microwave devices. And even to this day, the United States government is still continuing its research into high-power microwaves. It is nothing compared to what China is doing.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.